We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Sabres draft.
The type of defenseman that pretty much 31 teams in the National Hockey League want these days.
Actually, we're pretty sure we know who they'll draft.
He's the best defenseman I ever coached by far.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents the NHL draft.
Coverage of the NHL draft is presented by Losi and Ganji, workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. And brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. Stop in and stock up at New York's only Outlet Liquor. And by Al Ross for all of your screening, printing, and embroidery needs.
All right, we're in round three of the NHL draft. Coverage of the NHL draft here on WGR, rolling along with Sports Talk Saturday's special edition. Brayton Wilson here with you for the next couple of hours here as the NHL draft, 1 hour in, well, actually less than that because the draft technically got started shortly after 11:15. So 45 minutes in. One round down, and we've got five more to go, as long as my math is correct. Three, four, five, six, seven. Yep, that's five. Sabres, of course, if you missed it, have selected Matias Samuelsson with the 32nd overall pick. He is off the board first for the Sabres and first in the second round of the draft. That kicked things off as the 6'4", 218-pound defenseman comes over to Buffalo. He went at the U.S. Under-18 Development Program. And an interesting quote from his teammate with the program, Bode Wild. And actually, we'll get to that in just a second. But joining us right now from Dallas, a special guest, as we were just about to mention him, Matias Samuelsson, defenseman from the U.S. Under-18 Program, expected to go to Western Michigan this year. He joins us now live from Dallas. Matias, first off, thank you for joining us, and congratulations on getting drafted.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What was it like hearing your name getting called by Buffalo right off the bat?
I mean, just getting your name called at all is an unbelievable experience and something we all dream about for a long time. And then knowing like it's a world-class organization like Buffalo, it's just makes you 10 times happier.
Well, did you meet with the Sabres while you were at the Combine? And if so, what did you guys talk about?
I met with them. It was a pretty standard type interview with the basic questions, but you know, I felt it went really well. I felt like both sides walked out of there being pretty happy, so I was excited to come today.
What did you think of Buffalo while you were here for the Combine?
I went out to eat a couple times. I walked around. It seems like a beautiful city. A lot going on, and a lot of fun to live there.
So for people that may not have seen you play before, can you give us a little bit of a little scouting report from your own sense of view on your type of game?
My game's a two-way defenseman, good defender, tough to play against. Likes to move a puck up north, play a physical game, and chip in the offense whenever I can.
Of course, your dad played for several years in the NHL. What did he give you? Did he give you any advice heading into the draft here, whether you're going to be drafted day one or day two? And, you know, how big of a help has he been throughout the years with hockey for you?
Like when I was little, he taught me everything I knew. And, I mean, I'm the hockey player today because of him. And I credit that to him and my family and like my mom for making a lot of sacrifices with my other siblings. And just today and yesterday and this whole week with the draft process, he basically just said, like, you can't control anything that happens, or so just enjoy it and enjoy the little things.
So what do you like to do for fun off the ice? What are some of your interests in what you do away from the rink?
I'm a big basketball guy. Love to shoot some hoops every once in a while. And I'm from New Jersey, so I spend quite a bit of time on the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and I mean, with being as tall as you are, you're probably pretty good, aren't you?
Yeah, I like to think so. I don't know what other people say, but I like to think it.
Last thing that I wanted to ask you real quick here before we let you go, Matias, with with you deciding to go to Western Michigan, of course, your brother just finished his freshman year there. Was that a huge influence with playing with your brother, or what stood out to you about Western Michigan and you wanting to go there?
Yeah, my brother Lucas being there was obviously a huge factor, but just living the whole college experience with him would be unbelievable and something we dreamed about. And then, like their coach, Andy Murray, like coach in NHL, he knows how to develop players, and just playing for him and the rest of the coaching staff there, they're all at work to play in the NHL. So, I mean, that's where obviously I want to be. So just going there and playing on that team in probably the best division in college hockey, I thought it was a perfect fit for me.
Well, Matias, well, we understand that you're busy, so we'll let you go here. Congratulations on getting drafted by the Buffalo Sabres, and we look forward to seeing you here in development camp later this week.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate yep, absolutely.
It.
Matias Samuelson there, live from Dallas. He is the 32nd overall pick, first pick of the second round. He goes to the Buffalo Sabres, and he was just now with us on with Paul Hamilton has also talked with him. He was on with us just now. And if you, in case you missed that, in case you just literally turned on your radio, which maybe you could have, you can find that on demand later on a little bit at WGR550.com. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers here. We're currently at pick 69 on the clock. That is the Chicago Blackhawks. They are up now with pick number 69. And we are currently 25 picks away from the Sabres picking at 94 overall. That is the first pick of the fourth round. And the Sabres will pick again with Minnesota's pick in the fourth round, I believe at 117. And then, of course, through rounds 5 through 7, they'll have the first pick. And barring any trade that sees the Sabres move up, move down, Sabres will be sticking there. Brooks Orpik is on waivers for the Colorado Avalanche now. Joe Sakic yesterday said that he would respect him by letting him go to waivers and letting him go to free agency to get another shot after he had acquired Orpik from the Capitals yesterday as part of the Philip Grubauer trade. And it's a huge deal for Washington because it allows them to free up some cap space as well in order for them to re-sign defenseman John Carlson, who's set to hit the free agent market this summer. And hopefully for the Capitals, they're able to get Carlson locked up to a new deal at some point coming up before July 1st, because July 1st, of course, everybody gets to go to free agency. Negotiation period actually gets started, I believe not tomorrow. I think it's Monday that players can officially start talking to other teams about free agency. It might be, I'll double check the date there real quick, but I'm pretty sure it is Monday when they can start talking to teams. John Tavares apparently is going to have a discussion with the Islanders about what his next course of action is going to be, whether he's going to go to the interview period or he's going to re-sign with the New York Islanders. Of course, having Barry Trotz and Lou Lamoriello there probably really helps the Islanders' cause now. Because at first, I would have thought, for sure, no doubt about it, he's going to be going to free agency. No way. Why would he want to stay with the New York Islanders? But instead, Lamoriello comes in. He gets Barry Trotz to come in from Washington after he resigned from his position. Of course, Barry Trotz was set to become a free agent anyway. So he comes over now from Washington, who just won the Stanley Cup, to the Islanders. And John Tavares maybe now will have more of an enticing factor with the idea that he's going to maybe have some sustainability for the long term. 803-0550, 1-888-550 are the numbers here if you'd like to get a hold of us. Sabres will pick 94th overall. That is when they will pick, first pick in the fourth round. We're currently right now at pick 71. Jake Wise went 69th to the Blackhawks. It was a nice pick. And pick number 70 was Jacob Ragnarsson to the New York Rangers, a defenseman. So we're still a little bit of ways away. Buffalo picking 94th. Then they'll pick once again with the 117th overall pick in the fourth round. And then from there, they pick 125th, first pick in the fifth round, 156th, first pick in the sixth round, and then 187. That is the first pick in the seventh round. And, yeah, not a lot of trades happening, which is something I want to get to. Man, what a disappointing week. And it's not just because, you know, hey, we want trades. Of course, we all want trades. We want, you know, trades to happen, and we want some excitement. But just the fact that, you know, oh, hey, Erik Karlsson might get traded here, and, you know, all these names being thrown out there, Erik Karlsson, Ryan O'Reilly, and just the talk of trades that could happen. And just the fact that we unfortunately haven't seen any big trades happen yet is kind of stinks. It kind of stinks, but it does get me thinking. It does get me thinking. And I mean, I'm not gonna slam any of the national reporters just because, well, hey, they're getting all of our hopes up. Their speculations are leading us to believe that, oh yeah, we're gonna have some big trades. Let's get some big trades going. That's not what I'm saying. I think that these guys that, and I respect everybody that puts stuff out there. Elliot Freeman, I respect Darren Dreger, Pierre LeBrun, Bob McKenzie, all those guys that are closely tuned in to the NHL and what goes on around the league. These guys know what's going on. These guys are busy. These guys are all over it. The thing that is just disappointing is the fact that, oh, hey, we are a team that probably could use some more assets. But again, these moves have to be the right fit for Jason Botterill. We just can't have these trades just because, oh man, well, we got to trade somebody. We're talking trades. Let's trade somebody. No. As much as we all like trades, and trust me, I like trades. I like the fact that change happens and we can bring in new guys courtesy of exchange with different people. You know, I want to see trades just because I think that it just keeps the draft interesting. It keeps things flowing. And yesterday there was three trades overall. The first trade happened before the draft. Philip Grubauer and Brooks Orpik go to Colorado. Of course, Orpik's getting put on waivers today for the purpose of a buyout, courtesy of Joe Sakic just showing respect for Brooks Orpik. And Grubauer is now going to go to Colorado and battle it out with Semyon Varlamov to be the starter. And yeah, I think Semyon Varlamov's time there is pretty much coming to an end. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, but trades, though, the whole trade situation, I just like the flow going for this draft. Because, yeah, it can get a little stale. Any draft's going to get stale without a little bit of excitement. And I think trades certainly add up to it. But... ugh. Ryan O'Reilly, real quick. This is where I was trying to lead up. I apologize if it took me this long to get here, but the whole Ryan O'Reilly trade scenario. With Ryan O'Reilly, this is a guy who obviously is a really good, decent two-way centerman. He wins you face-offs. He's got some good skill. But the thing is, he just is not fast enough to play on a team that Jason Botterill, where he wants speed and skill. He wants things to be processed much quicker. He wants passes going from point A to point B. He wants guys that can move up and down the ice with efficiency and speed. Ryan O'Reilly certainly has some great skill. I mean, we've seen how much skill Ryan O'Reilly really has. But the thing is that his foot speed is just, it's not enough to be able to keep up with the pace of play that the Sabres really want to keep playing at moving forward here as an organization. And things can trade and can change down the road. Of course, we saw before Pittsburgh won the Cup in 2016, Chicago, they were a team that was playing with a lot of just smart hockey. You didn't have to have a lot of fast guys, but smart hockey, physical hockey. Teams like Anaheim, they were primarily built on size and physicality at a few points over the past few years. You look at the LA Kings, they won with size and physicality. And, man, I just, now with the Penguins winning the Cup in 2016, everybody saw speed and skill and smart hockey. That was what started winning games. Then they win again the next year. The Sabres failed to realize that after the first year. Of course, Dan Bylsma and Tim Murray move on. They get fired. Jason Botterill comes in and he tries to build a team that is fitting today's NHL. He's got some pieces here, but at the same time, it didn't work out, unfortunately. Now Jason Botterill is trying to move along, and he's trying to move forward and build a roster that is going to fit today's NHL and give the Sabres the best chance at winning. Rasmus Dahlin certainly going to help the Sabres in that factor. He's fast. He's a skilled player. He skates extremely well. He's one of the best skaters in this entire draft. He's going to be a rock-solid player from the blue line for several years to come in Buffalo. Jack Eichel, same thing. He's going to come here. He's going to bring speed and skill. He's a smarter player. He anticipates offensive plays very well. He's going to come. I mean, he's going to be here for the next 8 years at least and be a solid top-line centerman for years. We hope Casey Mittelstadt develops into something really good for the Buffalo Sabres. It seems like he already, I mean, he played six games, sure. But in the six games that he played, he started to look much more comfortable as the games went on. And he seemed like he belonged. Now Jason Botterill's task is to go out and find other pieces that he can slot into this lineup and figure it out. And with Ryan O'Reilly, sure, you don't want to see him go because he's a good centerman. He's a good, some will say he's a good leader, but I don't think it's Ryan O'Reilly's locker room anymore. It's Jack Eichel's. This is Jack Eichel's team. And Ryan O'Reilly, sure, he's skilled, but I'm completely ready to move on from O'Reilly. If you get some good pieces for him in return, get some scoring pieces, get some pieces that can help right now and in the future, whether it's a prospect or a pick or whatever, get guys that can certainly be a factor in the Sabres organization in the depth from the AHL or the NHL level to the AHL level. I'm just ready to move on from the slow pace of hockey that the Sabres tried to build right after Tim Murray was hired. The slower but smart and skilled to this pace of the NHL today where teams are blowing by the Sabres. I mean, last year and even the year before that when Tim Murray and Dan Bylsma were still here, teams just skated all over the Sabres. Buffalo couldn't get it out of their own zone because they couldn't take the puck from point A to point B, get down the ice, and sustain any offensive time. Because they couldn't keep up with the other teams that were much faster than them. I think that Mike Schoep pointed out in our article a few weeks back that this league is a copycat league, and it couldn't be any more truer. It is such a copycat league. This is going to be, I mean, the style of play is going to be what the NHL is all about for the several years to come until the next team that comes about wins the Stanley Cup in a different way. And then everybody's going to say, oh, we have to build a team just like that. We have to acquire assets and get pieces that can help us win a Stanley Cup just like that team just did. And right now, everybody, it's the Pittsburgh teams of the past 3 years. Of course, this past year, they lost to Washington and Washington went on to win the Cup. But even then, Washington still played with a bunch of speed and skill. They brought that physical tenacity, and they also brought some smart hockey. I'm just waiting for, and I think a lot of people, when I say this, are waiting for that time and the tides to turn and change. Because as one of the callers brought up yesterday in the morning show, the Sabres fans have been down in the dumps, have been, I guess, what he wanted to say was suffering yesterday, but they've been struggling to, I mean, they've been down on this team ever since Drury and Briere left. And it's been so mediocre since then. The team wants to continue to try and do their own things, and it hasn't worked out. It didn't work out under Lindy. They made two playoff appearances since then, but they were out in the first round. Lindy gets fired. In comes Ron Ralston. Darcy Regier is still there. And then they finally realize, well, it's time for a huge overhaul. Let's fire both of them and bring in Tim Murray and try and build a way Tim Murray wants to build. Well, obviously, Tim Murray was, I don't want to slam him too hard, but he was not as good of an evaluator as he talked it up to be. He could talk the talk, but when it came to walking the walk, it was apparent that he couldn't walk the walk. He couldn't execute what he wanted to do. Sure, he went out and got Jack Eichel. That's pretty easy, though. I mean, when at that point, the draft lottery was just for picks 1 and 2, and you had one generational talent right at the top, followed by a possible second generational talent right behind, it wasn't easy. Or, I mean, it wasn't hard. You just go to the bottom. You try and stay at the bottom. And he did that. And Buffalo lost the draft lottery. They lost to Edmonton. So Connor McDavid goes to Edmonton and Jack Eichel goes to Buffalo. But then after that, it was, now what are you going to do to build around Jack Eichel and to continue to sustain success and try and be a successful team and build for the future? Well, he trades a first-round pick for Robin Leonard. Obviously, that didn't work out because now he's going to be going to free agency after the Sabres don't tender him. And he adds a bunch of pieces that, okay, sure. I mean, the Matt Molson contract wasn't a good one, but that was, of course, before Jack Eichel. They brought him in thinking, oh, well, you know, it would be an easy, you know, he'll provide some scoring. He plays just fine in today's game. But it really became apparent after the, I mean, when, you know, Jack Eichel came in here and the team got a little bit faster, that it was unfortunate, but Matt Molson couldn't keep up. It was going to be extremely hard for him to be able to keep up with today's NHL. And it clearly showed because this past year in the small portion of games, he just looked like he had two cinder blocks on his feet and they were just dragging behind him. I mean, they were just dragging him down. And he couldn't keep up. So then he gets waived and he goes to Ontario in the AHL. And he's obviously able to produce there, but the AHL is such a different level from the NHL. If you go to the AHL and you perform like that, obviously you belong in the NHL most of the time. But at the same time, the difference between AHL and NHL is quite significant. If you go to an Amerks game, I'm telling you, if you go to an Amerks game, maybe the Amerks are going to be better just because that a lot of the Sabres prospects are ready to now move up from juniors and wherever they are, college hockey. They're coming to the AHL and they're able to step up and be able to play a fast game and play the way that the Sabres want to play for years to come. And they'll start doing that in the AHL. It is going to be so, so fun to watch the Amerks this year, because I think the Amerks are going to have some decent pieces in the organization to be able to be successful. I mean, they made the playoffs this year in a year that, you know, of course, didn't go so well here in Buffalo, but you look at what they did in Rochester and it gives you a lot of hope. CJ Smith, he was Tim Murray's pretty much kind of saving grace. Like, hey guys, there you go. You know, thanks. Just, you know, CJ Smith, he really, right off the start of the year, was starting to score and put up some production, and it was really promising to see. And I think the thing when I talk about speed, you don't necessarily have to have foot speed, is you just have to be able to keep up with everything that is going on in this game. The pace of the game, you have to be able to keep up. Matt Molson can't keep up with the pace of play in the NHL anymore. And he's a super nice guy, and I really liked Matt Molson, and you know, it's unfortunate that he had to go to the AHL, and he's probably going to be there all of this year, and he's going to finish his contract out with the Sabres in the AHL, but the fact of the matter is, he can't keep up with the pace of play anymore. A guy like CJ Smith, while he doesn't have the greatest of foot speed, and he's still working on it, he certainly mentally is able to keep up with the pace of play. The speed of play, you have to have that good speed. Whether it's in your feet or whether it's in your mind, you have to be able to keep up with the speed of the game. And CJ Smith, before he got injured and have the injury problems last year, he was able to do that. And it was really fun to watch him play because next thing you know, he sees an opening. The defense is working their way towards the puck or trying to avoid something. All of a sudden, CJ Smith just blows by everybody, heads straight to the net and scores a goal because the puck gets there to him and he's there perfectly because he sees how the play is developing and he understands the speed at everything is happening. So he times it out perfectly, gets there and scores. CJ Smith was great to watch last year. Casey Nelson, the way that he adjusted his game from being more of an offensive guy to more of a two-way guy. He played really well in Buffalo when he came up here. Brendan Gooley was fun to watch last year in the time that he got here. Linus Ullmark is finally developing into a potential starting goaltender in the NHL. I thought for the past 2 years, though, Linus Ullmark has been ready, but it would never hurt him to be in the AHL. It never hurt for him to get those starts and get more experience and get the experience of actually being able to go into the playoffs. And at the end of the year, he was upset that they didn't move any further. He was very upset that they lost in three games, got swept because he expected his team and his play to be so much better. And when they were swept, he was emotional about it. I mean, you can talk to Paul Hamilton about it. He was very emotional. So the Sabres have some nice pieces. And this is, I mean, moving forward, this team is going to be fitting. You're going to see this team fit in today's NHL much better than it ever really has. They have some pieces already in place. Jason Botterill is doing a nice job of evaluating. He did in Pittsburgh. He's doing that now. I think Jason Botterill has the right mindset to adjust to today's NHL. Like, sure, Pittsburgh is a great example for ways to adjust to today's NHL or create today's NHL for that matter. Because they're the ones that won two straight Stanley Cups with the way that they played, and everybody was like, yeah, we have to play just like them. And we've got one of those guys that was kind of a builder in that sense for the organization in Pittsburgh. Jason Botterill kind of put together that team. He was a huge factor in it. Of course, they had Jim Rutherford and they had a couple of other guys, but he was an assistant general manager, associate general manager, whatever you want to call him. But he was their kind of capologist who made sure everything fit in the salary cap. He also was a guy that pretty much built Scranton Wilkes-Barre from the bottom and made them into a top contending team year in and year out. Now Jason Botterill is going to do that here in Buffalo, and he's got Randy Sexton, who's also a bright mind from Pittsburgh, coming in, working with Rochester. He's done an incredible job so far. Both of them have. And now for the Sabres moving forward here, you got Rasmus Dahlin here. You got Jack Eichel here. Maybe Sam Reinhart comes back. Maybe Ryan O'Reilly comes back. But Ryan O'Reilly, with him, the foot speed, and even the mental speed is a question. Because sometimes, with Ryan O'Reilly losing, saying that he lost the love for the game, could you have seen it when he was playing on the ice last year? Just the fact that if he had lost the love for the game, maybe he just didn't get to plays at certain points. Maybe he didn't necessarily see things happening that, you know, maybe somebody else could have seen. Sure, certainly. But then again, you also got to see Ryan O'Reilly as he's very well respected around the league. He's still got that skill. He's got a lot of good things going for him. But he's going to be the one guy that if you trade, he's going to get the most value out of. That's why I want to see Ryan O'Reilly moved. But again, if they keep him, I'm not going to be like, oh man, we can't. Ryan O'Reilly can be here and be just fine. I would be completely okay with it. But at the same point, we need pieces for the future that can help score on the wing and that can play and keep up with the speed of the game today, whether it's foot speed, mental speed, or both combined. 803-0551, 888-552-550. What do you know, Derek? We're late for the break. Let's go to break. When we come back, hopefully by the time that we come back, we're actually now 10 picks away from the Sabres picking with the first pick in the fourth round. We are almost through the third round already. It's only been 30 minutes, which is great. It just goes to tell you how fast this draft actually goes forward. And the Red Wings just made their pick, so now we're 9 picks away. All right, we'll get to break. When we come back, we'll hopefully get in Matias Samuelsson with the media and Paul Hamilton, and then we'll hopefully have the pick ready to go by the time that comes back. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Brayton Wilson here with you. Special Sports Talk Saturday edition for the NHL Draft on WGR. All right, welcome back here as NHL Draft coverage continues on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you as we continue on through at least the third round of the NHL Draft right now. And we're quickly approaching, and I mean quickly approaching, Buffalo's pick at 94th overall here in this draft. 803-0551, 888-552-550 are the numbers to get a hold of us here. I got a text in asking me about Jeff Skinner and if there'd be any interest for the Sabres. Thing about Jeff Skinner is he's skilled and, I mean, he's really fast. He skates incredibly well. The problem is with Jeff Skinner that has been ragged on him is that he's a selfish player with the puck. He really wants the puck on a stick, and he almost he almost doesn't want to give up the puck. That's the thing about Jeff Skinner. And, you know, hey, I mean, if, as long as he can score goals and he can put the puck in the net, I'm okay with it. But I also, but he's also got one more year left on his contract. He's going to be due for a payday. And at that rate, I don't know if I'm willing to make a trade for Jeff Skinner to take him and then, you know, give him a new contract. The Sabres don't necessarily have a ton of room right now. And for the future, I don't know if I really want a guy like Jeff Skinner in on it. Again, I think Jeff Skinner's a good player, but I definitely think that, you know, it's one of those situations where I'll probably take a pass on Jeff Skinner. Not only that, but for what Carolina has reportedly been asking as well, no thanks. No thanks at all. So currently right now we're on pick number 90. So we're three picks away from Buffalo taking their next selection with the 94th overall selection. We're at 91. And there's been a few trades today, but none of them involving any players. Apparently, Dave Pagnotta from the fourth period just tweeted out that he has reportedly confirmed that John Tavares has informed the Islanders that he will speak with five teams this week when the interview period opens. All right, so John Tavares has not given any confirmation on whether he's going to be returning to the Islanders or not. He's going to go to market. Maybe. He's going to speak to five teams, see what he likes, and then maybe on July 1st he makes a pretty quick decision. That or he just drags it on. We've seen it happen before, and it could happen again. The sooner that John Tavares makes a decision, though, the better, right? That means that we could potentially see a Ryan O'Reilly trade. I always kind of thought that a Ryan O'Reilly trade wasn't going to happen until we knew what happened with John Tavares. John Tavares is the top center on the market. After that, in free agency, it's Paul Stastny, and he's 32 years old, and he's kind of coming on to that point now where it's, okay, I completely lost my train of thoughts. I completely apologize there. But with John Tavares, just, he's going to go to free agency, and with, I found myself. Thank you. I apologize there. So Paul Stastny, maybe he's starting to come around and he's starting to go on that downward trend in his career to the point where he's not going to be able to produce as much. So then at that point, you look at what's available on the free agency market and the trade market. And maybe the Sabres look at it and say, well, or not the Sabres, but another team just looks at it and says, well, we don't get John Tavares. There's not really any other good center options out there or top two centermen in the league. Maybe then at that point, a team would jump all over Ryan O'Reilly, be able to give up what they want to give up. And we'll see. We'll see what the Sabres exactly want to do. Or not the Sabres, but another team will want to do with Ryan O'Reilly. And we'll see if the Sabres will want to make a trade like that and make a move to acquire a bunch of pieces that can help the team out for the future. We're now three picks away from the Buffalo Sabres. We're at pick 91. The Winnipeg Jets are on the clock. Minnesota is next after that, followed by Washington at pick 93, and then Buffalo's up at pick number 94. We will have that pick for you live right here on WGR. We will get you also Matias Samuelsson speaking with the media. We did talk with Samuelsson live here on WGR. In case you missed that interview, feel free to check it out on demand. It is there right now at WGR550.com. Feel free to check it out. Please do. I would tell you to do so. But again, just a couple of picks away here. Buffalo picking at 94. We'll have that pick for you live right here on WGR. Our coverage of the NHL draft on WGR is presented by Losing Ganji Workers' Compensation and Personal Injury Attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers, and brought to you in part by Outlet Liquor. Stop in and stock up at New York's only Outlet Liquor, and by Al Ross for all your screening, printing, and embroidery needs. So let's see what happens here with Buffalo. Ryan O'Reilly could be a guy that could go off the market in a trade once John Tavares makes his decision. And apparently, John Tavares is going to talk with five teams coming up this week. I think that at this point, with the way that this draft has been going, we're not going to see any trades of players at the draft. All the talk, all the hype, and nothing happened. Washington is on the clock, 93, and apparently they are taking Riley Suter. So now the Sabres are on the clock. Third round is over. Rounds 2 through 3, done in an hour and 28 minutes. Super simple. And now the Sabres are on the clock, and we'll see what they do with pick number 94. First pick in the fourth round. We're rolling along. We're back on the clock. And we'll get that pick to you as soon as it comes about on whether it's the NHL Network feed or whether it comes about here on Twitter. And picks are coming along really fast here on Twitter as we'll get that pick for you very shortly here, momentarily. And then we'll also get back with Matias Samuelson, who was Buffalo's second round pick, the first pick of the day here in day two. Buffalo, of course, now shoring up the defense a little bit here. Some good things said about Matias Samuelson, and we will we'll get some of those comments for you in a little bit here. We'll talk about those once this pick is made. But pick number 94, Buffalo, is on the clock. We will see where they go here. Do they go forward? Do they go goalie? Do they take another defenseman? Maybe they just decide, let's stock up on defensemen all of a sudden. By the way, Matias Samuelson, he will be going to Western Michigan. And the pick has been made, and the Buffalo Sabres take Matej Pekar of the USHL. Paul Hamilton just tweeting that out, and he is a centerman. So Matej Pekar, if I have to double check to make sure that Elite Prospects has a pronunciation of Matej here, M-A-T-E-J, and then his last name is spelled P-E-K-A-R. He's from the Czech Republic, but he played this past season in the USHL with the Muskegon Lumberjacks. 14 goals, 54 points in 56 games for Muskegon. He is committed to go to the University of Miami at Ohio as a freshman this upcoming fall. Oh, and there is a pronunciation. Derek, do you mind pulling up his webpage at eliteprospects.com. Let's get to hear what Elite Prospects has to say with pronunciating his name. I want to be able to get this right. Matej Pekar. That would be my guess. Pekar, I'm not sure. If or not, when Derek has it ready, we'll get it up here. We'll get the pick in. Well, the pick is already in, but we'll get the pronunciation of the player here. You don't have it?
Apparently one needs an account to play pronunciations.
Since when?
Now,
what?
I guess.
Oh, boy.
Well.
All right. Well, you know what? We'll sign up for an account. We'll get this then. I don't know when that just started, but the Sabres have made their pick. They've picked with their first pick here in the fourth round, and they will be picking again in around 20 picks. 117 is the next pick. That is Minnesota's pick that was acquired in the Marco Scandella trade. That was the trade that Buffalo got, the fourth round pick from Minnesota. They will pick there, and we'll see where this goes here with Buffalo in their next pick. But of course, Matej Pekar is the next pick for the Buffalo Sabres, a centerman from the United States Hockey League, played with Muskegon last year. He is Czech-born. He came over to North America 3 years ago. He played his junior hockey here a little bit. He was in the Czech Republic, then came over here to play, and he just recently completed his first season with Muskegon in the USHL, and he actually played also at the World Under 18 Championships with the Czech Republic. Scored a goal and 5 points in 7 games. And of course, Paul Hamilton is down in Dallas. He'll meet up with Matej and he'll hopefully be able to A, get a correct name pronunciation because, you know, we definitely want to make sure that we get this right. And we'll see how they pronounce his name. And then we'll also get maybe to know a little bit more about him as they meet with the media. So 803-0551, 888-552-550. The Sabres have made their pick here in the fourth round. They have another one coming up at 117. We'll have that live for you when we come back from the break. But their pick at number 94 is Matej Pekar. He is a center out of the USHL. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Sports Talk Saturday. Excuse me, I'm used to saying Sports Talk Sunday, but it's Sports Talk Saturday, NHL Draft Edition, rolling along here on WGR. And we'll be back right after this break. All right, back here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Sports Talk Saturday, the NHL Draft Edition here on WGR. Brayton Wilson here with you as we continue to roll along. We're through rounds two and three. We're now into round four. The Sabres have made their next selection, and their next selection is Matej Pekar. He was the center in the United States Hockey League, and he's pick number 94. The Sabres are coming up next here in a little bit. They have about 15 picks to go until they're back up on the clock at 117 here in the fourth round. 803-0550 is the number. 1-888-550-2550 is the other numbers if you want to get a hold of us here. A couple of notes from Pekar. He won the silver medal at the Ivan Hlinka Memorial Tournament. Excuse me, with the Czech Republic. And then he was also named to the USHL All-Rookie Team and was also named the USHL Rookie of the Year. So, good for Matej Pekar, who, again, will be going to the University of Miami of Ohio. So, here's one thing that's interesting, Derek. Jason Botterill, in his two NHL drafts with the Buffalo Sabres, has yet to take a player from the Canadian Hockey League in any of his drafts. They've all been European players, players in the USHL or in high school, and that's it. No players from the OHL, QMJHL, or the Western Hockey League, the WHL, have been selected by Jason Botterill in the draft, in either of these drafts. Dahlin comes from Sweden, from Frölunda. Mattias Samuelsson was with the U.S. Under 18 program, and now Matej Pekar is with... It was with the USHL in Muskegon.
Man, people really got to be freaking out about the what if they don't sign here after coming out of college? People, it's probably got all of them riled up.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure that everybody's freaking out about that. Which you may be right. Now we're just going to continue to get calls and continue to get people to say, "Well, you know, people, you know, they're not going to sign with us." Brandon Hickey's going to be, I think, signing with the Sabres as soon as noon hits on July 1st.
It's like Paul said multiple times throughout the week. Jason Botterill wouldn't have made this trade if there wasn't a contingency in place to get him signed.
Exactly. Tim Murray made the trade for Jimmy Vesey because, you know, well, hey, what the heck? Third rounders don't always pan out, and let's just take a shot on this kid. Didn't work out, and everybody freaked out.
And they were in on Will Butcher. And
didn't, you know, sign.
They didn't.
Peterson decided to go to free agency after being with the Sabres for
over 4 years.
That's
the only one fans can really have a legitimate gripe about. But his decision making clearly is not on the right page, seeing as how he went to LA and now he's buried again because they just traded for Peter Budaj again.
Yep. Yep. All right, 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll hit a quick break. When we come back, we will get you the pick at 117. They're currently at 103, so now we're 14 picks away from the Sabres, selecting at 117 here in the fourth round. We'll hopefully hear from Matej Pekar when he meets with the media after getting selected by the Sabres, and then we'll also hopefully hear from whoever the Sabres decide to select at 117. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back with another hour of our NHL draft coverage right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson back with you here in just a few moments.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.